Welcome to the Word Infusion. Thank you for joining us. We will be picking up our study in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24, to the end of the chapter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Word, which is everlasting, which is true, which we can build our lives on, the rock which we can stand on, Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, please, that you would just bless this Word, your Word. We know, Father, that your word has told us that if your word goes out, it will not go out and come back void. So we thank you for that promise. Pray, Father, please, that you will just present your word clearly and that each one of us, Father, would receive from you the things you have for us to receive, whether they be reminders or whether they be new things for us to understand or to contemplate or to meditate on. I do pray, Father, that you'll fill us. Feed us spiritually and glorify your Son, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we are picking up in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. The apostle writes on, he says, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another, unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous." You know, it's interesting to me that as I think about the account of Abel and Cain murdering his brother, Abel being one that had a right heart with God, who gave of the best of his offering to the Lord, and in that Cain was clearly not of God, whose heart was evil. There's a direct contrast between the righteous heart of Abel and the evil heart of Cain. They're both brothers, of course, we know that. Adam and Eve are their parents. This is the first murder that was recorded in history of mankind. The world as we know it today, we often will throw out the excuses that the influences of the world or circumstances in which we live have contributed to why we behave the way that we do, especially when those things that we do are in dishonor to God. And yet we have Abel and Cain who are one of few on the face of the earth with parents who testify to the one and true God, who know God's forgiveness and grace as they fell in sin and the sacrifice was made and they were clothed and covered, that they know what it means to sin and to give that sacrifice and to make things right with God and to have a clear conscience and talk their children about God. But each individual has a choice to receive the truth of God's word or not to. And in this we see the picture of two brothers taught by the same parents who knew and feared God, even though they fell in sin, taught them the importance of bringing the first fruits of their crops or of their hunt, if you will, or of their flock, and to offer it as unto the Lord. Abel had a right heart. He offered his offering to God the Father, whereas Cain, his offering was not honorable to God because it's, one, it wasn't the best of his crop, and two, it wasn't from his heart. And here we see a picture of two people that, in essence, if we really wanted to take it one notch further, we could say two people that are worshiping God, going to God, offering their gifts of sacrifice. We could say, paralleling that, people that go to church today, there are those that go to church for the wrong motives, and there are those that go to church for the right motives. There are those that worship God with a true heart and spirit and truth. And there are those that worship without a focus on a right heart or a focus of the Spirit of God. There are those that go in humbleness and gratitude to worship and to honor God, and those who go to church in hopes that they will benefit from their sacrifice of time, rather than giving glory to God. And here we have it with Cain and Abel. But Cain hated his brother, Abel. He saw the heart of Abel. He, as much as a man can see, For what is in the heart, what is on the inside, will come forth on the outside. What goes in will come out, will be seen. Our character will be made known. And Cain knew the character of Abel's heart, that he was a good man who feared and loved God. Whereas Cain, his heart, was one that was evil. I often thought, well, that's just in reference to the fact that he murdered his brother, which is the epitome of hatred, which really, before the actual physical act of killing his brother, there was jealousy, and there was hate, and there was a rage, and there were all these evil desires that had built up in the heart of Cain, in which he did not take and deal rightly before God. And the parallel here is very clear. We have a believer who is right with God, a person who is right with God, hence Abel, and that of Cain, who heard the truth too from his parents, whose heart was not right with God and rejected God, who was evil, and murdered his brother. We have a man of faith, Abel, and we have a man of no faith, Cain. And yet still, both were practicing an act of worship. And we see people in churches today, if the rapture was to come today, we would not be surprised to see that there would be many left in the church. Not all would be taken, because not all are truly the sons and daughters of God, such as in this case here, as the Apostle Paul is, or the Apostle John, is being led of the Holy Spirit to write this letter in 1 John to us. And so we see here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 or 11, verse 11 and on, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, we should love one another." Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one. There it is in scripture right there. He was of the evil one. We have two spiritual fathers that are in this world. One is Satan, Lucifer himself. He's the spiritual father of those who have rejected Christ the Son. Those who have not followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Even Abram, who later became Abraham, had a relationship with God because he followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and he could call on God as his heavenly father. There is the Heavenly Father, and then there are those who reject the Holy Spirit and don't follow God, don't give their lives to God, and they follow the father of this world, who is Lucifer, Satan. And so unlike Cain, who was of the evil one, that is of Lucifer, Satan, the prince of the and ruler of this world, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. So here we see the Apostle John, led of the Holy Spirit, telling us, don't be surprised that when those that reject the truth and reject God see the righteousness of God in your life and in my life, as we yield our lives to God and follow him, that people will hate us. If they hated Jesus, they will also hate us. Cain hated his brother because of the righteousness that was in him and because his heart was evil. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Evidence of truly being a Christian is having genuine love for the brethren. Not just a general love of people and representing God's love to the world that we're in, but a specific love for the household of faith. The one who does not love remains in death. If you can't love your brother, you remain in death. And that's in reference to the body of Christ. But even further, if you can't show love to others, there is a sign that there is evil. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So the picture here is that the Apostle John is telling us, as believers in Christ, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer in the heart. If we truly hate someone in our heart, we're a murderer, because that's the seed of murder. It's the act may not physically have been carried out, but the intent and the attitude is already just as real in the heart. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Therefore, a Christian, a brother or sister in Christ, cannot hate his brother. If they do, genuinely hate their brother, they've committed murder in their heart, and they are not really a Christian. That's what God's word is telling us here. In verse 16, it says, "This is how we have come to know love." Now remember, without love, everything's in vain. We know that through the scriptures. Christ died out of love for you and I, not because we loved him, but because he first loved us. He laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers. We should reflect, and I hesitate to use the word mimic because it sounds insincere, but we should reflect the character of Christ in our lives by showing genuine love for our brothers. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need but closes his eyes to his need, how can God's love reside in him? If you're in church, you've got your church family or brothers and sisters in Christ that you know, and you have the means to help them, you see them in need and you close your eyes and you don't want to, then that's a grave act. And here, it's interesting that the apostle is writing, if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need but closes his eyes to his need, how can God's love reside in him? In other words, it should be a natural thing for Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, to care for one another and to love one another. And if that love is not evident, then we need to recheck whether we really have a relationship with God. Little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action. And James tells us that faith without works is dead. And John is telling us here. He's saying, look, little children, as a mature, older, and an apostle of Christ Jesus, he's saying to those of faith, the children, the church, he's saying, little children, we must not love with word or speech. That's easy. We can talk about love. We can make words of love. We can say, I love you. But the evidence of that love is through truth and action. This is how we will know we belong to the truth and will convince our conscience in his presence. Look, we find ourselves loving others even when we see the weaknesses, even when we see the shortcomings, even when we see the sin that raises up in one another's lives, especially amongst the brethren. And we're still saved, but we have a sinful nature. And yet, when we are loving others in spite of our shortcomings in Christ Jesus, because God compels us to do so by his Spirit which lives within us, then our conscience is reassured that, hey, your loving act is different from that of the way of the world and the flesh, and that's because Christ lives in you and me as brothers in Christ. Even if our conscience condemns us, that God is greater than our conscience, and he knows all things. I know when I was a younger Christian that I prayed the sinner's prayer a number of times until I was reassured that I was saved. And I've heard others have done the same thing. We might question our actions and say, boy, am I acting right as a Christian? You know, but the reality is God knows if we're genuinely his. We may condemn ourselves by our acts, but God knows if we belong to him. Dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. What the Apostle John is saying, look, if we are walking with a clear conscience with Christ on a daily basis, we are walking in step with the Spirit of God, we are walking in step and fellowship with Jesus Christ, we have a right relationship, a clear conscience with God on a daily basis, then we have confidence. Dear friends, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we can receive whatever we ask from him because we keep his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. If we're walking in obedience and faith and love and fellowship with Christ, then whatever we ask, we know will be asked in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and not contrary to his priorities or his thinking. In other words, when we ask, we're going to know that it's okay to ask for those things, that God is in agreement with those things, and therefore what we ask will be given. Dear friends, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God and can receive whatever we ask from Him because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. Now, this is His command, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. First thing is, first command is believe in Him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to. You need to acknowledge your sin and acknowledge before God that you are a sinner, that you believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, God's Son, who died on the cross for your sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose from the grave, and that He's alive today, and that you're a sinner, and that you look to God and say, God, please forgive me for my sins and come live in my heart and allow me to have that relationship with You, that we might be saved and that we might walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is His command, that we believe in the name of the Son. Now this is His command, that we believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He commanded us. This is not an option. This is a command. That means that we are to be forgiving when we are asked to forgive someone. When someone asks us and says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? We should be forgiving. We are to love even in spite of one another's weaknesses and shortcomings. We should be honoring the household of the faith of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, with love. Because He's commanded us to. Now this is His command, that we believe in the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commands remains in Him. If we're doing what we know we should be doing, if we're faithful and obedient to God and His Word, then we are remaining in Him. The one who keeps His commands remains in Him. Doesn't mean we can lose our salvation. It just means that we are keeping our clear conscience and walking with Jesus on a day-by-day basis. The one who keeps His commands remains in Him, and He in Him. In other words, we're aware of that relationship. It's clear and close. And the way we know that He remains in us, and that word remains can also be translated abides in us, is from the Spirit He has given us. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we want to live our life for Him, He should not only be He has to be our Savior by receiving Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You know, that's acknowledging our sin and asking God to forgive us and inviting Him to come live in our heart. And we are born again and we have salvation. He is our Savior. But then we must actively, daily submit to Him as our Lord and allow Him to be Lord of our lives as we follow Him. And I say allow, meaning that we are submitting ourselves to God in faithful obedience to Him, following Him, walking with Him, talking with Him, growing close to Him, having a clear conscience with Him, walking in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life every day in step with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to follow Jesus and allow Him to be Lord of our lives. I hope that you're encouraged to love one another, not just to love people in general in the world, and that's important because it represents Christ's character, but in particular, to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, because this is a command, and it can only be done amongst believers. And if we are not loving toward brothers and sisters in Christ, then we need to revisit and ask ourselves, are we truly a child of God? Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your Word. I pray, Father, You help us to be the people You would have us to be, to walk in step with You and fellowship with You with a clear conscience, to know the power and effectiveness of prayer that is in line with You, to love the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, as You've commanded us to be that witness, and to know, Father, the wonder and the power of Jesus in our lives as we follow You. May You be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next time we'll be picking up in 1 John chapter 4. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.